Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. This is exciting for me. As I said recently, what I have always enjoyed doing more than anything is training people who help people. That's really what KI is behind the scenes. It's a training hub for teachers, coaches, therapists, sponsors. It's gone on for formally about 14 years. And I've been training in some way people for 17 years. A big part of that was my codependency. I needed love and approval. So when I did my emotional repression work and dealt with that part of it, I realized that the training program that I had at that time contained a lot of codependency. What I mean by that is unmet needs that were not met, they were not dealt with by coaches, teachers, me. And so trauma bonding happened, which really just means let's sit here and help each other but not get to the root so that we're both going to keep suffering. But we won't really acknowledge it. And I see it as like it's systemic. It's going on everywhere. People are not ending suffering. And we're helping them not do it by avoiding the root. You can disagree with me, but well, that's my perspective there. So now that the work, to start the work, it's free. Anyone, don't have to be a therapist or a coach, of course, or a sponsor. But look, I've already announced the free course for everybody. If you don't know about it, it's in the link to this podcast episode. So you can click on that link and learn Emotional Repression Inquiry, Third Dimension. It's a new dimension of practice that makes the unconscious conscious safely and effectively if you do it how we developed it. That's available to start for free. Don't have to be a helper. When I thought about doing the podcast for this week, because I'm only doing about two a week now, or sometimes one, I just sat with it like, what do I really want to talk about? And I realized that through the year and a half that I've had the podcast, I could never really connect fully with helpers because they don't see the skills that we have here. So they only have the skills that they have. And it's like a box that we live in. If you have a fork and a knife, you don't have a spoon. You can't contemplate what it would be like to have a spoon. You could do so much with it, but it doesn't even cross your mind. And if you meet somebody who has a fork and a knife and a spoon, or a machete, you wouldn't recognize it until you tried that tool. You see, oh, this machete works so much better than that knife, that butter knife. So there's like a, what's called a new modality barrier. In addition to the fact that repression itself is a barrier, as Ken Wilber says, our shadows, our suffering, keep us from seeing that it's coming from repression. Our codependency, our suffering. So to overcome this barrier, I've gotten on podcasts to talk to you guys, but mostly I've been talking to you, the people that come to us helpers. And I've been talking about helpers by pointing out to you that some of us helpers are enabling you on a spiritual path to avoid. But you don't know it because you're not aware of your repressed emotions. And if they're not talking about it, they're not informing you or showing you how to access that. And that becomes a kind of a trauma bomb because you're going to keep suffering. Even if you don't think you will, the unconsciousness will keep driving the suffering. In those trauma bonds where we feel safe, we feel loved, and we feel approved of, but we're not transforming deeply. Maybe we're getting states that are better, but is the suffering going away? If the suffering isn't going away, the relationship should be looked at. What are we doing? We should just define it. In other words, do we have a different objective? Maybe the objective is to just keep you safe from feeling certain things and keep your system regulated. Well, that's different, though, than transformation. Regulating the system without getting to the what creates it in the unconscious is very different than making the unconscious conscious, which is what we do here. So when you go out into the world and you see all these helpers and teachers, do you know what the objective is? Are they transparent enough for you to you even know what the point, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what will happen here if you keep listening. There are three phases to this path. And after a consistent period of practice where you see two markers, which includes transmuting of frozen emotion in the body, you're going to see your life change, authenticity, boundaries, freedom, seeking ends, chronic pain can go away, suffering can be greatly reduced or eliminated when you get to the root. But I can't promise that because you have to be involved. If you come and pick up the free tool and you can't follow through and you leave, then there's no way that you could get those results. It's definitely a relationship with you to the method, with me and you, or with you and whoever's helping you. So today I want to talk to the helpers, because for the first time I have a way to talk to helpers in which I can say, look, here, try my machete. And a machete just means I'm going to give you some tools here that will access a trauma response in your body that you may or may not know is there driving you. So if you're a teacher or a helper, coach, sponsor, therapist, counselor, come down and feel and allow the sensations in your body. Just notice your breath and come down and feel, especially where you feel any energy already, any tightness, or where you know that you hold something. And bring up the people that you help. They could be your clients if you're a therapist. They could be your social media followers if you're a coach. It could be your clients as a coach. If you're a teacher, it could be the people that follow your work. Sponsor, sponsees. I want you to just look at them and say, I don't need their approval. And see if the body objects. The body keeps the score. So if it's doing something here, this is what's really going on. I don't need their love. Say it a few times, but don't think about the answer. You just say it and you rest and allow the body to do whatever it wants to do. I don't need their love through helping them. I don't need their approval. Don't let your mind come in. The mind will just come in and tell a story that you're just doing this or that to keep you safe, but the body can't lie. So one more time, I don't need their love. Look at your social media audience. Okay, so those are needs, emotional needs coming straight from emotional repression. And it's early childhood and intergenerational stuff, but we don't know that we have it. And so when we go out and help people, our only evidence really is that we still have suffering, usually. But the suffering can thin out to some degree if we've done our work, but if it doesn't end, and what is suffering? It's everything, science says. It's the depression, it's the mental health, the addictions, the diseases which are connected to the emotional system, the chronic pain, which we know a lot of it now, is emotional repression. That suffering, including inauthenticity in relationship and relationship issues. Because if we can't be ourselves, that's a major impact on our lives and well-being. If we have to hold back what's true for us, we just don't realize it because we're holding it back. And then when we start to help other people, because we're holding back emotions that are true, we're identifying still with things that are false. Things like, I need their love and approval, which makes us then believe that we're really a teacher or a helper. And we identify with things because we're staying safe from those buried emotions and we're getting love and approval that way. There are people in 12-step who, once they become a sponsor, they're locked in because they're getting so much love and approval. You have to do a lot of work to be a spiritual teacher and not get hooked into the projections. Because those kinds of environments invite that. Now go back into your body and let's go a little bit deeper. I want you to pull in the people that you work with or that are on your social media audience as if you're really connecting with them. Feel into your body and say, I can be fully vulnerable with them. Just trust your body. I could be vulnerable with them. You don't have to deny it or define it. Just trust that your body knows what that is. If you feel just a little bit of energy, that doesn't mean a little bit of repression. It could just be hidden away from your view, dissociated even. You're just feeling a little bit of it. You always want to trust the body because the mind could come in here and say, well, I am vulnerable with them. I shared last week this, but no, that's not real vulnerability. Your body knows what that is. Real vulnerability would be feeling and expressing what you're afraid of. If you're an anger repressor, your real vulnerability is your fear of anger. And that might create your people-pleasing or your codependency or your helpful nature or the one that's always there on social media with a smile and a helpful nervous system regulation technique to keep everybody safe. You don't realize it. The unconscious is driving us until it's made conscious. Those of us who don't want to believe it, that's the unconscious driving us and making us believe things that will keep us safe from ever discovering that buried anger, for example, drives a lot of teachers and helpers and coaches. And that's why they can't be vulnerable. Might be able to cry, or maybe if you're an anger repressor, and that can look vulnerable, but it really isn't because it's an identification that comes from anger repression. To be really authentic, we would also then want to feel and express all that's true. How can we take someone any further than where we're stuck? So go into your body and pull people up and say, I can be authentic with them. I can get on my social media channel and just tell them this about myself or something and see if your body stops you. Then I want you to look, here's the last test. I want you to look at a part of your job as a coach or a teacher that creates stress, even if it's minor stress. It could be attending a certain meeting. It could be doing some of the business-oriented stuff of being a teacher because we don't always like the business part. It could be learning a new technology. And I want you just to say, just trust your body. I don't have to resist that. I don't have to resist that meeting. I want to go to that meeting. I want to learn this technology. See if your body is really driving this and just saying no. So that's the small stuff that really, when it adds up, that creates the burnout that coaches and teachers experience. It's repression that creates stress on the surface. And then we just allow it or manage it in some way. We don't get to the root of it. And then we're trying to help other people. And in helping other people from unmet needs that are creating both some stress here or pain over here or this, but also the codependency to help them to get out of our bodies, well, that's going to have a negative impact on them. Well, certainly on us too, because we're all in avoidance. We're teaching it by the way that we live. When we work through burnout, we're teaching our clients. And that's what you should do is just pile through something. Don't get to the root of it. Just try to manage that and keep helping. See if you survive and don't get a serious disease. When I see helpers getting diseases in their 40s and 50s and 60s, that just sneak up on them. They've been so kind and wonderful and helpful for so many years, just like me. And then cancer, Parkinson's, chronic pain, digestive issues. It's like, where does that come from? Well, because at that point, it's no longer burnout. It's like the system is going, stop. And if you don't, I'm going to stop you. Because you're operating from those needs and that repression, and that's what drives suffering. So our systems are so much more intelligent than we are as teachers and coaches. If we can just learn to truly listen, and that is not about being quiet and listening to the body, because repression doesn't arise. So I want you to go back to that stressful situation at your work and just say again, I don't have to resist that. Whatever, doing that. If you feel that energy in your body, say this, I'm not angry. Don't think about it. Just say, I'm not angry at this part of my job. And just see if your body, it won't be anger for you anger repressors. It'll be like a contraction where you're storing it. Your body's trying to tell you, yes, you are. But are you listening? Are you just treating this as a sensation? And are you doing that with other people? Are you teaching them to treat that which holds buried emotions as just a sensation? Who benefits? Everyone. See, because you stay safe from you keep calling it a sensation, then you're teaching them to do that. And then reinforcing that we're both going to sit here and hold our true emotions back and expect transformation of some kind. In the future, that will be seen as archaic. It really will. To help from the root of suffering blindly, to guide in its extreme form, is what Barbara Oakley calls pathological altruism, where you're blinded by your need to help others, so you don't know how you misguide them and the damage that you create. And when it comes to being really peaceful and teaching other people to regulate their system, we're creating a bunch of patient records that in the future will reflect back what we've done. When the cancer and the different diseases come, and the science continues to show us the link between anger repression and these diseases, at some point the light will shine brightly on us helpers in the world. Because when the science gets this clear, the flashlights come out and we start picking up bricks and we start looking at institutions to see where the trauma is. That's what consciousness would do as it wakes up. It's going to see that in the therapy field, in the spiritual field, there's repression and trauma, and there's trauma bonding, and people are not ending suffering. And then we'll have the evidence, and we'll see it in the patient records, and we'll see it in your own life. You'll see it in the science more and more, and you'll be more discerning about which helpers you choose. But for you helpers, you'll be more discerning about which practices you do. I had to. I hit burnout and then disease, and then I want to leave helping because I wasn't getting to the root. And so when you start pushing beyond those places, you're just going through the motions. If helping and teaching isn't fun for you, it's the funnest thing I can do. I love it, and I'm not getting my needs met. And the reason that I'm enjoying it so much is because I don't get my needs met. I can be myself. I can connect with people. I can tell them stories about myself. I can ask them questions about their life without being afraid. We can get to the root of things. I can tell them that I've gotten angry and what that was like. I don't have to hide that. How can I teach by hiding? How do I teach by hiding what shame was for me and where it came from? How do I say to the science is correct because I found it myself, if I haven't done that work? And why am I so eager to help other people if I'm still suffering? Really important questions. When we look beyond ourselves, when we look at all of it and we say, what are we doing? We start to see there's something bigger than the individual. The trauma is bigger than any individual, and so is the healing and the transformation. It's for all of us, but we're not going to have it as long as we're not looking at this. Not in any real sense. Not healing intergenerational trauma if we don't get serious about how we help and how we help people miss it. We can't just say the word trauma and regulate nervous systems and then think that we're healing that, when that which creates the dysregulation and the need for regulation is buried, and we just overlook it. We keep overlooking it. Why? Because needs are met. The needs of helpers who want to stay safe from all that talk. Do you know how many helpers out there are hurt repressors who are really in your face on social media to get your attention because they can't stop to feel that hurt for one moment, and they're not going to get you to do it either? That's what a trauma bond is. Do you know how many anger repressors who show up on your news feed with wonderfully compassionate and empathetic words because they're hiding from anger and teaching you to do it? Because we all teach each other always how to be false. We do it in the trickiest of ways. It's all about a narcissism, a needism that we don't know that we have until we own it fully as helpers and people who need help. Until we own it, we can't heal. The codependency is the covert narcissism. It's trying to get needs met in a manipulating way by helping people. And people who do that don't even know they're doing it to stay out of the anger and hurt. That's just like a narcissist doesn't really know why they're doing that. They're not that conscious to know. I mean, maybe some are, but most of this is really unconscious. And it takes testing, just like I did with you, to find it. So if you found some responses today, just know that you join a really big and growing community of coaches and teachers who are being honest with themselves. And they're doing the deep work first before they get real busy getting their needs met, in this program at least, with other people. And you will be better off. Those of you who need help in the future, you'll be better off because of it, because of the high caliber of people that we invite here and the standards that we have. And we've already turned away people. We've had people leave the program because they don't see that earnestness is the most important quality. And earnestness is whatever you're, are you suffering? That's the earnestness question. Are you as a helper suffering? Don't back out of the question. When you answer it honestly, then you know you have repression. If you look at the science, if you go take my test at repressiontest.com, you start to see what that repression is. Earnestness requires that. By the way, earnestness is the opposite of needism and narcissism, because not a single so-called narcissist will do that kind of inner work, or not usually. So when you take a step in the direction of getting to your codependency and getting your needs met through teaching and helping, you're actually healing within. And then you have so much more to offer, because you have your full self. And that's what people want. They want themselves. Don't sell them short by giving a false version of you, hoping that they're going to find authenticity. It doesn't work. If you're a helper or a teacher and you want to join our training program, what I would ask you to do is make yourself a priority first. Come into my intensive. The fastest track to training is to work with me one-on-one so we can get to know each other. If you want to do the intensive, take the free course that's in this description. Learn the safety net tool and you'll see that we'll lead you to an intensive with me. You can also do a clarity call with me, if you see those words. A clarity call is like if you want to come in and talk about what is the training program, how do I get through it, how do I apply, all that. If you want that information, but what I'll say is do your work, and I'll point you back to the intensive or to the group, so because the intensive is a prerequisite. Because if you really want to show us, Toshi and I, who lead the training, if you want to show us that you're a good candidate, the only really way to do it is to come and you do the work earnestly. And then we'll talk to you about what drives you to want to help other people. And if we're really clear with each other, you'll be invited in. And it's amazing. It's a whole nother dimension of helping people to go to the unconscious. Start with a free course, whether you're a helper or somebody who's being helped, because we all have to start with our own work. You'll find the link in the description. Thank you.